Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, The Girl's Guide to Sex Education by Michelle Hope M. A. It is a practical sex education guide for preteen and early teen girls, especially readers beginning puberty or trying to understand changes already underway. Written in a direct question and answer format, it addresses over 100 common concerns about puberty, bodies, hygiene, relationships, emotions, consent, abstinence, harassment, and social media. The book belongs to the growing category of age-appropriate puberty and sexuality resources designed to reduce embarrassment by giving young readers clear language for subjects they may hesitate to raise with adults. Hope, a sexologist and educator, approaches the material with a focus on plain explanation rather than alarm or moralizing. Its purpose is not only to deliver biological facts, but also to help girls interpret feelings, boundaries, and social pressures during a transitional stage. The guide is also positioned as a tool for parents, caregivers, and educators who want to start more open, informed conversations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a question and answer structure that lowers the barrier to sensitive learning. One of the book's defining features is its question and answer organization. Instead of asking a young reader to move through a long textbook-style explanation of puberty and sexuality, it lets her locate the concern that feels most urgent in the moment. This matters because preteens often approach body changes with specific anxieties rather than broad academic curiosity. A reader may want to know why breasts are sore, what a period is, how to manage menstrual products, or whether a new feeling is normal. The format treats these questions as ordinary rather than shameful, which is central to the book's educational value. It also makes the guide useful for adults, because a parent or educator can respond to a child's concern by turning to a short, focused answer rather than staging a single overwhelming talk. The structure reflects a realistic understanding of sex education as an ongoing conversation. Puberty knowledge is rarely absorbed all at once, and the Q&A model supports repeated, practical use as new questions appear. Body literacy through practical explanations of puberty and menstruation. The book gives substantial attention to the physical changes associated with puberty, including menstruation, breast development, body hair, hygiene, and the day-to-day management of changing bodies. Its importance lies in translating biological processes into usable knowledge. For many girls, puberty is not experienced first as an abstract developmental stage, but as unexpected blood, soreness, odor, hair growth, acne, or changing body shape. By explaining these experiences in direct language, the book helps separate normal development from emergency or embarrassment. This is especially useful for readers who may receive fragmented information from peers, media, or internet searches. The inclusion of practical topics, such as how to use a tampon or how to wash private areas, signals that sex education must include routine bodily care, not only reproduction or risk prevention. The book's approach also supports body literacy, meaning the ability to name, understand, and respond to bodily changes. That knowledge can make girls better prepared to ask for help when something seems unusual. Thirdly, attention to emotional changes, self-image, and everyday social pressure. The guide does not treat puberty as only a physical process. It also addresses the emotional and social changes that often intensify during adolescence, including shifting friendships, romantic curiosity, embarrassment, insecurity, and changing relationships with adults. This broader framing is important because puberty education that focuses only on anatomy can leave readers with little help interpreting the emotional context of growing up. Girls may understand what a period is, but still feel confused by mood changes, body comparison, crushes, or pressure to act older than they feel. By placing feelings and relationships alongside bodily facts, the book reflects the lived experience of early adolescence more accurately. Its tone is designed to reassure without dismissing the seriousness of those feelings. The book also helps readers distinguish between normal uncertainty and situations that require support from a trusted adult. This makes it more than a manual of puberty facts. It is a guide to making sense of a developmental stage in which body, identity, friendship, privacy, and self-esteem are changing at the same time. Fourthly, consent, abstinence, harassment, and digital boundaries as part of modern sex education. A notable aspect of the book is its inclusion of topics that extend beyond traditional puberty instruction. Alongside menstruation and hygiene, it addresses consent, abstinence, sexual harassment, and social media. This combination reflects the reality that young people encounter sexualized messages and relationship pressures before they are fully prepared to interpret them. The book's value is in presenting boundaries and safety as ordinary parts of growing up rather than as topics reserved for older teens. Consent is especially important because it gives girls language for understanding personal agency, bodily privacy, and respect in both romantic and non-romantic situations. Discussion of Harassment and Social Media also recognizes that peer interaction now occurs in digital spaces where teasing, pressure, privacy violations, and unwanted attention can escalate quickly. By treating these matters as educational rather than sensational, the guide helps readers develop early judgment about what is acceptable, what is uncomfortable, and when to seek adult help. This modern scope differentiates it from older puberty books focused mainly on biological development. Lastly, a bridge between independent reading and trusted adult conversation. Although the book is written for girls, it is also meant to support adults who want to become more approachable sources of information. This dual function is significant because sex education is often weakened by silence on both sides. Children may be embarrassed to ask, while adults may fear saying too much, saying the wrong thing, or encouraging behavior through discussion. A resource like this can reduce that tension by giving both parties shared language. A girl can read privately first, then bring a question to a caregiver, teacher, clinician, or counselor. Adults can use the book to answer calmly and consistently, rather than improvising under pressure. At the same time, the book's focus on girls may make it less comprehensive for readers seeking a fully gender-inclusive puberty resource. Some families and educators may need to supplement it with materials that address a wider range of gender identities and experiences. Its strongest role is therefore as a clear, accessible starting point for conversation, not a complete replacement for ongoing guidance. In conclusion, The Girl's Guide to Sex Education is best suited for girls in the preteen and early teen years, as well as parents, caregivers, teachers, pediatric professionals, and youth workers looking for an accessible conversation aid. Its practical benefit is that it answers common questions before misinformation, fear, or embarrassment becomes the main source of guidance. Readers can gain vocabulary for body changes, reassurance about normal puberty experiences, and a clearer understanding of boundaries, relationships, and digital safety. Adults can use it to make discussions less awkward and more consistent, especially when a child asks a precise question that requires a calm answer. Compared with many puberty books, it stands out for combining concrete body guidance with social realities such as consent, harassment, and social media. It is not simply a menstruation manual or a biology primer. Its Q&A format makes it easier to use selectively, and its tone is straightforward without becoming clinical or abstract. The book's main limitation is its gender-specific framing, which may not meet every family's need for inclusive puberty education. Even so, within the category of girls' puberty and sex education guides, it is a useful, contemporary resource that treats young readers as capable of receiving honest, age-appropriate information. If you would like to support Michelle Hope, MA, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.